Dublin's Talking Sport.
Welcome to Dublin's Talking Sports podcast with me, Ken Doherty, and my good friend, Reggie Corrigan. Thanks for tuning in to catch up on the latest GAA, football, rugby, and all the crack. Enjoy the show, and don't forget, rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
A great show this morning as Joe Harrington and Declan Drake were in studio covering for Reggie as he enjoys his couple of weeks summer holidays. Ken called in with the latest on the snooker. Brian Keogh from Irish Golf Desk and the Irish Independent updated us on the Open. We had a jam-packed GAA section. Sean Lane was in studio. And of course, Alan Cawley of Cawley's Call podcast updated us on the League of Ireland. Tune in now wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, Declan. Morning, Joe.
Morning, Ken.
How are things?
Very well, yeah. Staying down here in the lovely Killeshea Castle Hotel. And, of course, we have a snooker festival on in Goffs this weekend. But Ronnie O'Sullivan, the seven times world champion, coming to town alongside the other seven times world champion, Stephen Hendry, and myself and Jimmy White, making up a semi-final and a final in Goffs. Completely sold out, so I'm looking forward to playing at 1 o'clock today.
That's 15 world titles between the three of you, is it?
Yeah. That sounds a lot better, Declan.
But it's a snooker royalty all in the one place, and you say the event is sold out. So what's the format for the day and the weekend, Ken?
Yeah, two semi-finals. So myself and Jimmy started off at 1 o'clock today, and then Stephen and Ronnie play tonight, and then the third and fourth place playoff on Sunday afternoon, and of course the final is on Sunday night, you know. So it's great to have snooker back in Goffs. Of course, you know, I used to be an usher as a 14-year-old a long time ago at Goffs, when of course the Irish Masters was on, sponsored by Benson Hedges back in the day.
Yes.
And I used to take the tickets off the people, show them into the seats, and then sit on the stairs and watch the likes of Jimmy White and Alex Higgins and Dennis Taylor and Ray Reid and Steve Davis and the like, you know. So there's a great affinity with Goffs for me over the years.
Yeah, it was such an integral part of the Irish sporting calendar, the Irish Open, Irish Masters, and then for some reason it just disappeared off the face of the earth. Is there any chance of it being of coming back, do you think, Ken?
Well, you'd certainly hope so. I mean, you know, and the crowds, as I said, is completely sold out, 750 eating for each session, so over 3,000 people there, you know, from today and tomorrow. So there's obviously there's still a great interest there, and of course it stopped after, of course, when tobacco sponsorship was banned, you know, from sporting events. And then we had it in City West a couple of years, but it just wasn't the same. But it'd be great to have it back in Goffs. Yeah, it just needs, you know, somebody to come up with an idea of a tournament, and then come up with that. Obviously, the sponsorship is a big issue, you know, and of course the TV as well.
Yeah.
If our national broadcaster could televise the event, that would make it even more special. And that used to be back in the day when it was the Benson Hedges Irish Masters. But it's a wonderful place to play in. The atmosphere there is like no other, and all the players who have played there say it's like the best outside of the Crucible. It's the best venue on the circuit, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, I drive past Goffs quite frequently going up and down to the south of the country, and I think of when I look into it and think of, you know, Cliff Thorburn, Terry Griffiths, all the greats that were there over the years, and how wonderful it would be to see the current modern day stars playing there for in a professional tour.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, and of course we've got the likes of Dennis Taylor and John Virgo, who are going to be sort of emceeing and doing a bit of commentary, a bit of live commentary as well, which sort of makes it great for the crowds as well, you know.
Good stuff.
Of course, Joe would know Goffs very well, because he would have bought some horses there over the years, you know.
I tell you what, Ken, we'll get on to talking about that fabulous victory of Man United over Liverpool in a few minutes, because that might be the only thing you'll get to talk about over the next while about that. But I just want to give Declan an update. I'm just watching the Ireland against All Blacks. And
Ireland are playing brilliant, aren't they?
Absolutely brilliant. 22-3 they're leading at the moment. I mean,
who
would have thought that? And it's just coming up to half time, so they're trying to just hold out the All Blacks and not let them get a score just before half time. But I can tell
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it is fantastic. I think the score will end 22-3 at half time, which is sensational, Declan.
It is. The only problem, Joe, with talking to Ken about Manchester United is we're off air in an hour's time, so I don't think we've got enough time to get everything in.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, listen.
You did mention
4-0.
We're going to win the league this year, Joe. We're going to win the league.
Listen, have you any other jokes, Ken? But anyway, Declan was talking about the Masters and golfs and stuff like that. So what time are you playing today at?
1 o'clock.
Okay.
1 o'clock. So, 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Sullivan and Stephen Hendry on tonight.
Yeah. So, do you reckon you'll be there tomorrow for the final, and we can all go down?
Well, I'll be there. Whether I'm playing in the final or not, I don't know. But I'll definitely be there either way. But hopefully so. I mean, I've had some great matches with Jimmy White over the years, and I'm looking forward to the one today. Just to enjoy the atmosphere as well. It's going to be electric. You know, it's absolutely going to be packed to the rafters. So I'm looking forward to it. And I'd love to be playing Ronnie O'Sullivan or Stephen Hendry in the final on Sunday night. That would be very, very special.
I think if he won't be playing, he'll be doing ushering or perhaps live commentary on the finals or whatever. But Ken, we have mentioned it, and we have to talk about a 4-0 Manchester United versus Liverpool in a pre-season friendly on the far side of the world in the middle of July. But
there's no such thing as friendlies. There's no such thing as friendlies between Liverpool and Man United, Declan, let me tell you that.
Yeah, you're obviously really excited about the start that Den Hag has made anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, you know. I mean, I was definitely never expected. I don't think anybody was. But I know Liverpool didn't have that full squad or whatever. You know, they're trialling a lot of young blood. But, you know, it's good. It's good from a United perspective. It's a very good start. You know, and you can see from what he's introduced in training how the players have reacted. So they had another good win against Melbourne yesterday. And plenty of goals. Well, 4 goals as well. So it's good news. You know, there's still obviously it's very early stages, and you know when the season sort of kicks off in August, it'll be interesting to see how they start off. But that's the good thing about these tours, as well as sort of public relations and seeing the fans around the world, and it's a sort of a money making exercise. But it's good for all the team to get together and be able to put into practice what he's been shown and on the practice field. Play well. So yeah, it's exciting. Now listen, we'll take a victory over Liverpool at any time. I don't care if it's under 6 days or 8 days or friendlies.
And this is before the season starts, the enthusiasm in his voice. It'll probably be gone by the end of August.
Yeah. The eternal optimist, Declan.
You have to be supporting them at the moment. Listen, we wish you every success down in Goffs for the weekend. Please God, you can get to the final and maybe even win it tomorrow evening.
I'll be down tomorrow anyway, Ken, one way or the other, so you can buy me a pint. You can buy me a pint.
I hope you have a ticket, Joe.
Okay, we're going to turn our attention on the programme now to Gaelic Games, GAA, with Declan Drake. Sean Lane, volunteer St John's clubman, is in studio with us this morning to look ahead to the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship final tomorrow. But before that, we must bring you some good news on what wasn't the best of weeks, shall we say, for Dublin GAA. Dublin under-16 girls captured the All-Ireland title, 4-12-3-9. Super win over Cork down in Kerr last Wednesday evening. Fantastic game of football by all accounts, and a wonderful success for the team, skippered by Aoife Robertson. So, on behalf of Dublin's Talking Sport, we extend our heartiest congratulations to all the players and their team management. Not such a good weekend, though, for our flagship football teams who exited Championship 2022. Senior ladies beaten at the quarter-final stage of the Championship at Donegal 3-7-1-7 in a god-awful game up in Carrick on Shannon. Best forgotten, to be quite frank with it. They managed just 1 point in the first half through Hannah Tyrrell against the ultimate blanket defence employed by the Ulster ladies. The Dublin goal was scored by vice-captain Carla Rowe late on. It breaks a record of Dublin. They've appeared in every All-Ireland final, including 2014, a run which yielded 4 All-Ireland titles in its 9-year run. We had hoped to bring you a reaction from the management this morning, but they were not available for comment after the game. So to the men's, well, that's another journey that came to an end at the last 4 stage, thanks to a long-range Sean O'Shea free. The last kick of an absorbing contest, Dublin battling back well from 6 points down in the second half to be on the brink of extra time. For me personally, highlights the outstanding contribution of skipper James McCarthy, the man from the Mun, and the goal of real quality netted by Cormac Costello in the second period. Unfortunately, we just came up short in the end. Dubs boss Desi Farrell spoke to the media in the bowels of Croke Park post-match. He shared his thoughts on the game, his hopes for the senior players for the year ahead, which of course will start in Division 2 of the Allianz National Football League.
We have no excuses. We just came up shy on the day and you know, it's a bitter pill to swallow. Gutted for the lads inside there. They died with their boots on. We were a sticky situation at half time, and immediately after half time went six down, you know, and it wasn't looking good at that point, but rallied, and you know, they threw everything at it, and just very proud of them in general. Yeah, so was I. Yeah, I was starting to go into overdrive just in terms of what we needed to do, and you know, we had a plan in place for it anyway, but a plan is all very well and good till you get the punch in the nose, as Mike Tyson said. So it was just an immense kick. Like, that breeze was difficult to kick into. I don't know whether it died or not a little in the second half, but it was a touch of class. Yeah, definitely. And you know, the foul, I think it probably was a foul, to be fair. I didn't see it, but just from the sideline it looked to be, and you're probably saying to yourself, into that breeze, the distance it is, it sort of this probably will go to extra time. Yeah, you know, they were going strong at the end. Some of that crew were a lot of miles on the clock, and have given the most immense service to Dublin football. But I'd be hoping for Dublin football that James in particular stays around, because the group dynamic has changed demonstrably over even the last year, but definitely the last number of years. A lot of young players, new players, many of them got game time today, but a lot more on the panel. And you know, for those players need the likes of James McCarthy and the Johnny Coopers and those lads to stay around to lead the way, because they've followed brilliantly, to be fair to those young lads, and having that type of leadership at the helm is really, really important. So I'd be hoping that crew have more to give. There's great strength to be taken from that too for what's to lie ahead in terms of their own inter-county careers. The equation at all, we'll have a couple of weeks to reflect on that, but you're right, it was a 3-year term, and you know, obviously there's going to be that old cliche, there's going to be no decisions made tonight, but for me, to be honest, it's just about the players, and it was great to see that type of performance today, that type of coming together, and the young lads sort of finding themselves in that group is important, that sense of belonging, you know, and we struggled with that earlier in the year perhaps, but as time moved on, we could those players were finding their feet, being led by those great individuals that are in the mix, of course, as well. So for me, that's the crucial thing. It's what's next for them, and I'm hoping, I'm optimistic and hopeful for what the future holds for that group.
Yeah, Desi Farrell there talking to us after the defeat by Kerry last week. What it holds for the group, what it holds for him. It's going to be an interesting time in the boardroom in Donnycarney, I'm sure, over the next couple of months. Hurling job, of course, to be filled as well. Now, big event taking place in New Zealand, the third test between the All Blacks and Ireland, and it's tightened up a bit there, Joe.
Yes, Ireland are down to 14 men, yellow card, and also New Zealand have just scored a try and converted. It is 22-17. Whoa. It's going to be very, very tight.
Very, very tight. And you'll have an update from Joe before the end of the programme. Now to hurling, the massive event of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship final between Limerick and Kilkenny at Croke Park tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. Delighted to be joined in studio by my good friend, hurling analyst Sean Lane of Ballantyre St. John's, former Dublin minor and under-21 manager. And also on the line from Cork by Seanie McCarthy, two-time All-Ireland winner. First of all, Sean Lane, good morning. Welcome back to the programme.
Morning, Declan. How are you doing?
It's Christmas Eve for hurling fans, isn't it? Even though it's the month of July.
Well, it's only 2 years ago. I think it was one of my first shows, and it was almost Christmas Eve when Waterford played Limerick in the All-Ireland final. So it's different today, but really looking forward to a cracker, Declan.
Yeah. Seanie McCarthy on the line from Cork. Good morning to you, Seanie.
Good Morning, Declan. Morning, Sean.
How are you, sir?
I'm very good. This lovely Saturday morning in Cork.
Absolutely, absolutely glorious up here as well. In eager anticipation of the game tomorrow, Seanie, first of all, let's talk about Keane Lynch and his impact not being involved tomorrow. You saw the lift it gave the Limerick supporters when he came on in the semi-final. He'll be a huge loss if he can't play any part tomorrow.
Yeah, I suppose definitely he's a huge loss. I don't think they would have risked starting him. They have been playing a lot of the summer without him, Declan. So, like, I don't think... Yes, he's a fantastic player. Yes, he's, like, one of the best players in the country. But from a point of view of upsetting the structure of the Limerick team and the way they're going to play tomorrow, I don't think that's going to have a huge effect. They're a fantastic team. They have an abundance of talent. And as I said, he's been missing probably for the four of the last six games. So, yeah, you know, it's his impact coming off the bench maybe would have been is what would have been missed tomorrow rather than, you know, his all-round contribution.
Yeah, that was a massive factor, Sean Lane, of course, in the semi-final victory over Galway was the impact of the Limerick bench. We were sitting here before the semi-finals, analysing them, thinking that the second semi-final, you know, was or the first semi-final between Kilkenny and Clare would have been fairly tight. Didn't work out like that. Brian Cody working the magic once again. He has them back where he wants them in an All Ireland final.
Oh, absolutely, Declan, and I've seen the bookies' odds for tomorrow, and I can't believe the price that Kilkenny are. I like I've said to you before, and I've said it to viewers that a good team constitutes a really good goalie. Kilkenny have that. Six really good backs. They have a couple of new ones in with Mikey Carey and Mikey Butler. Fantastic up front. Billy Ryan is full of speed. They have an excellent free taker in TJ Reid, Owen Cody, Adrian Mullen playing out of his skin in the middle of the park. Kilkenny are going to be an awful handful for Limerick Leicester. And I would acknowledge what Sean, he says, you know, Limerick are a fantastic team. I think that without Keane Lynch, they will be missing something. And if he can't come in off the bench, they'll certainly be missing some more. But I just think that for Kilkenny tomorrow, it's just set up for them. I won't say I can't see them beaten. Of course they can, because this is an excellent Limerick team, but I just think everything would be the way Kilkenny want it tomorrow.
Seanie McCarthy, Brian Cody was saying during the week that if Kilkenny won tomorrow, it'd be his greatest achievement in hurling, and he's done quite a lot in the game, as we know, over the last 20 odd years. Is that a viewpoint that you would share, considering where they've come from over the last 3 or 4 years?
Absolutely. I think with the record that Cody has, I think you have to respect him for that. But I suppose it's what's foremost in his mind is Limerick have become the dominant team currently. They're going for three in a row. Cody was smarting in the semi-final that even though they were Leinster champions and Clare had lost to Munster, they still went in underdogs. So Cody is a very proud man. He's a proud GA man. He's a proud hurling man. And his record is phenomenal. So, of course, beating Limerick, who are the farm team, everybody's talking about him and the way they've taken the game to a new level, I think it would go down as probably one of his greatest achievements from a Kilkenny team that has some very good players. But bar TJ Reid and one or two more, did not the star-studded team that they used to be with household names. He's building again. He's building a very young team. They're changing their style of play a little bit with the short and the long game. They're in transition. But it's phenomenal they've got this far this year. But it's because only Cody as a manager can do that. And like the records, his record speaks for himself. I think like it's going to be an absolute cracker, and it's tradition versus new boys on the block. You know, and Cody doesn't like being beaten, and I'd say I really find it very hard to call who's going to come through. You know,
Sean Lane, Seanie Mac isn't going to like this next point too much, because Declan Hannan climbs the steps of the Hogan Stand tomorrow afternoon around about 5 o'clock. If it's the Cranberries, whatever they're going to be playing, if they win, he eclipses the great Christie Ring. I mean, that's some fine piece of history to be able to look back on, isn't it?
There's no doubt about that. But Seanie will like one of these points I'll make. We might like the second one, that Kilkenny are genuinely the ultimate spoilers. The great Cork team in the 70s got over the line and beat Kilkenny for the three in a row. You know, but Cork were going for three in a row in 2006 after winning 4 and 5, and Kilkenny were the team to stop them. But something that I would point out is that in all of Brian Cody's defeats, he's been in 16 or 17 All-Ireland finals, he's been beaten by Tip and Cork and nobody else. He's beaten the Galways, he's beaten the Waterfords, he's beaten the Limericks. You know, I'll still stand by my point, and I acknowledge Seanny would have done more on the field than I did, but I would still acknowledge that I think that Kilkenny are going to be a formidable task tomorrow.
Where's the McCarthy Cup going tomorrow evening, Seanny Mac?
Sorry, you just missed the question there, Dec. Sorry.
I said, where is the Liam McCarthy Cup going tomorrow evening? Is it going Shannon's side or North side?
I just would see Limerick because, that's a hard one. I would sway it in the side of Limerick. Weather, bench, comfortable being up there, going for three in a row. Very comfortable with their style of play at the moment. Huge supporters, passionate supporters, probably will have more support up there than Kilkenny. I've written down a couple of things here, Dick. Putting all that together, my heart says Limerick, but by God, I think Kilkenny will make them walk all the way right to the bitter end, and there'll be very little between them. It won't be a runaway victory like last year, unfortunately, for us.
Didn't want to mention that, but Sean Lane, you've spent a lot of your time working life, particularly in and around the Kilkenny area. So are you tipping a Kilkenny victory tomorrow evening?
Yeah, I worked for a long time with Glanby, over 20 years, and a great company and all that, but and really staunch with Kilkenny hurling people. When they're quiet, they're always at their most dangerous, and I have to acknowledge, I do think this is an exceptionally good Limerick team. I think they have exceptional backs, exceptional forwards. Aidan Gallan, fantastic forward. But I just think that Kilkenny, they've had a great game the last day against Clare. If you just take one stat, Limerick played Clare twice, and leaving out the extra time in the Munster final, they drew with them twice, and Kilkenny absolutely demolished Clare. The second point is that Limerick had everything to try and beat Galway the last day, and at the end of the day, in a very dour Leinster final, Kilkenny led Galway from start to finish and pulled away by a couple of points in the end. So to give you a straight answer, I'm expecting the Cats to do the business tomorrow.
Okay, well, we spoke earlier on, lads, about Brian Cody and his longevity as Kilkenny manager. This week in Tipperary, just the other side of the county boundary, we saw Colin Bonner removed after 1 year as Tipperary manager. Liam Cahill has left Waterford. We know, of course, Matty Kenny has departed Dublin in the last couple of weeks as well. So, first of all, to you, Seanny Mac, the difference between the attitude in Kilkenny and the attitude in Tipperary. Were you surprised by the news in relation to Colin Bonner during the week?
I think very surprised and very disappointed with how it was handled. He was given a three-year term with obviously a review after year one. Lost a lot of good players. At the start of this season, didn't some more out with injury. And Kilkenny, our Tipperary, are definitely in transition at the moment. But I just, as an ex-player, having played against them, Bonners are huge GAA people, huge Tipperary supporters of the GAA. I felt very, very disappointed on how it was handled. But obviously, they were working to a plan. And with what we've seen from yesterday evening, last night, that Liam Cahill resigning in Waterford. Look, it was like our own appointment of Pat Ryan. I think a lot of things goes on behind the scenes that the public and you and me are not privy to. And a lot of planning is always going on. But I suppose the fact that Tipperary lost four games had a very disappointing league campaign. They're a very proud county. That what happened with Cullum as manager didn't sit well with the supporters or the county board. But he was the fall guy. He was the manager. He at least he put up his hand and took on the job. It's not an easy job. You hear every inter-county manager at the moment saying it's 30, 40, 50 hours a week. It's a job within a job. But I just felt very, very disappointed on him being left go after 1 year, with obviously he walking to a plan with a limited pick a pool of players and building a new squad for a new era, you know.
One of the great Bonner brothers, Cormac, was at the edge of the square. I can't think of the other chap's name.
Conal.
Was it Conal? Yeah, but
Conal was the other brother.
Cormac was the Viking.
He was a great man,
but a fearsome looking man on the hurling pitch. Liam Cowell has left Waterford, so the natural thinking might be that he goes to Tipperary a year later than he perhaps should have gone. But in fairness to Cullen Bonner, he took the job on. He wasn't the first choice for it. And how do you feel about the way it was handled, Sean Lane?
I would agree completely with Seanny, and I'd echo all his sentiments in you know, when you're given a 3-year contract straight away. Pádraic Mara unfortunately has to retire. Seamus Callanan becomes unavailable. You're given a brief where you have to introduce new young lads, and I thought he introduced a very, very good cornerback and a full forward who scored a couple of goals. I genuinely was shocked. I you know, if it happened to a manager in a different county, you'd say, well, maybe so. But you know, the Bonners are, you know, they're part of the tradition of Tipperary hurling, and for the county board, and the actual statement, Declan was, you know, relieved of his duties. Basically, I don't think that's nice. And perhaps when we go into the politics of it, maybe he dug his heels in and said, no, you offered me 3 years, I want to stay for my 3 years, and they've other plans and other thoughts, and decided to dismiss him, which I think is a new low for hurling in the country, but particularly Tipperary.
Yeah, you're using soccer terms there, like relieving duties, and that's a professional sport, and the hours, as Seanny said, that like he would have put in is absolutely phenomenal. Would have deserved maybe a second year. We here in Dublin, of course, are on the hunt for a new manager as well. We haven't spoken to you since Matty Kenny announced his intention not to be reappointed as Dublin manager. What's happening in relation to that at the moment? It's gone very quiet over the last couple of weeks.
Well it is. I mean, we said it on the show earlier, you know, a week or two back, that we kind of half expected him when he didn't announce his resignation that he was going to go on. He's announced it. We have to thank Matty Kenny for it. He gave 4 great years. He's a damn good manager. Proved that with the Coola Club winning county championships, Leinster championships, All Ireland championships. We just didn't get where we probably wanted to get to. And I suppose the search will start in a twofold search. We'll start an internal one, which I'd suggest would probably form the selectors to go with an outside manager, a Derek McGrath, somebody like that, or an Anthony Cunningham who worked with Pat Gilroy. Names like that would certainly fit nicely with Dublin and hurling going forward.
Seanny, what's the perception of Dublin hurling, where it's at, do you think, at the moment, from the outside? Are we underachieving, or are we achieving as much as we can with what we have available to us in terms of playing personnel?
They're a team that have definitely made great progress in the last probably 5 to 7 years. They're definitely becoming more competitive. I think this year didn't do them justice. When you look back on their record, the biggest game, I think, for them and for to prove a point this year was probably going to Pierce Stadium against Galway. And unfortunately, they didn't get the result there. But I think with some of the names that Sean mentioned, they're potentially coming in. They're a team that are not far off the top 5 or 6 teams. They have quality, they have youth, they're competing underage at a good level now. They're a team I wouldn't like to meet in championship. They're a big, physical, strong team. They're fit, they're young, they're hungry. It's just getting that breakthrough that they need and start competing and beating some of the traditional, as we call them, teams is all they need to give them a little bit of, I suppose, a little bit of a lift and a little bit of confidence. But I think, and the point, like Matty did great work with them, but I think there's probably need to step up another level or two now and bring in one or two of those names mentioned could really do that for them. And believe you me, they're not far away in the next 2 or 3 years. They just need that little bit of luck and that little bit more, I suppose, guidance to take them up to the next level or two.
Okay, finally, lads, to both of you on this one. We're playing the All-Ireland Final on the 17th of July. It's going to be 28, 30 degrees in Croke Park tomorrow. Might even have the water breaks back for it. I'm sure we probably will. The notion of the split season, first of all to you, Sean Lane, has it worked? What needs to be done in your view if it hasn't worked?
Well, I was actually listening to yourself and Joe talking earlier, and I thought Joe made an excellent point in the fact that when we came out with the split season, no one actually thought of the fact that playing an All-Ireland final on the 17th of July, we'd have a hell of a lot of people, particularly after a pandemic, away and out of the country. So there's an awful lot of people going to miss the match. I agree with the split seasons, there's no doubt about that, but perhaps push it back a little bit further, maybe the football and hurling end of kind of middle of August rather than the 17th of July. The 17th of July for an All-Ireland final, it just doesn't sit well with me. Having said it, from the other side, the club perspective, I get it, I get the split season, but I just think we need much more lead in time to both the football and the hurling semi-finals and finals.
And briefly, Shawnee Mack, what are your thoughts on it? Has it worked? Does it need to be changed?
I agree 100% with Sean. I think moving by about 4 weeks would be ideal. I don't like this penalty thing. I think room has to be given for replays. Big problem we're finding, I suppose, in our own club as well now, is that players are going away to, again, it's like back when I was playing in the 80s and 90s. People are going away to America, and a lot of inter-county players leaving the country and going playing for the summer and not being available for their club, even if their county is out of championship. So I would love to see it moved by about 4 weeks. Club is where it all begins. The club is the GAA. It should be first and foremost looked after, but it's just a tad too early for me, Declan.
The major international sporting event of the weekend is taking place at St Andrews, the Open Golf Championship. The third round is well underway there on the Old Course this morning. Delighted to be joined now by Brian Keogh of Irish Golf Desk and the Irish Independent to tell us about what's been happening so far and what we may expect over the course of the weekend. A very good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Declan. Can't quite hear you quite very well here. Quite a bad line.
Okay, we'll do our best. Fantastic tournament so far for Rory McIlroy going into the penultimate round of the Open. Just three shots off the lead. The dream of another major still very much alive for the Northern Irishman.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Rory's played pretty flawlessly so far. You know, opened with a lovely 66. Really played well on Thursday, and he backed it up yesterday, which is important. He started off pretty slowly, but he made a few birdies around the turn, and then kept it going. You know, he dropped a shot, you know, on the 15th, and he had a tricky little par putt on 16 that he really needed to make, and he made that, and then made a tremendous birdie on the 17th. So he's three behind Smith, and he looks just in total control. Looks like he has another gear. But today really is a key round for Rory, because, you know, the last couple of majors, you know, he started well. It was very similar in the PGA Championship and the US Open, you know, 65-71, the PGA, 67-68 in the US Open. And then there was a 74 in the PGA and a 73 in the US Open in round three. So really today is the key one for Rory to put up another good score and stay in touch, or perhaps take the lead going into the final round tomorrow.
It's hard to believe it's 2014 since he won it. He stands at 10 under par at the moment. That's at the start of play today, three shots behind Australia's Cameron Smith.
Yeah, you know, Smith has been, you know, he played with Seamus Power for the first two rounds, and, you know, I watched quite a bit of that, and he's just been knocking in putt after putt, really for fun. He's got a tremendous wedge game. His tendency off the tee is to pull the ball a little bit, or to there's the occasional hook in his bag, but that's not a problem in St Andrews, because all the trouble here is down the right-hand side. That's where all the gorse is, so he's, you know, if you do miss it left, you can get away with it. Obviously, you've got to avoid those deep bunkers, but, you know, Smith, Players Championship winner, you know, he's had chances in the Masters as well. He's a really tremendous young player, lots of confidence, never seems to get too flustered, you know, so he's looking very good indeed, and it'll be interesting to see if he can continue to knock in those putts, because, you know, a 50 footer on the first hole and six birdies in the first 10 and an eagle on the 14 from, you know, around 20 yards away, you know, from about 60 odd feet, so that's very hard to beat. And as Rory said, if he keeps doing what he's doing, it's going to be very hard to catch. But you know, I think McIlroy, it looks to have, you know, plenty of poise, but there's, you know, plenty of other big names up there. Obviously Cameron Young, you know, the American rookie, is just two behind as well. So he was third in the PGA he's not going to go away, I don't think, trying to become the first debutant to win the Open on his debut since, you know, Tony Lima, you know, back in 1964. So there will be historic stuff at the home of golf. So, you know, there's a whole cast of characters up there. Victor Hovland as well, you know, tied for third with McIlroy on 10 under par, the Norwegian, 66 yesterday. And then, you know, you go back to Dustin Johnson, obviously former world number one, multiple major winner. He's only four back. And then we got the, you know, the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, on 8 under par, you know, with Tyrrell Hatton. So, you know, plenty of great players up there. It's moving day to day. And it's a beautiful sunny day, just a light breeze. So just absolutely perfect for links golf.
Super. Now, Shane Lowry and David Carey are the other Irish golfers left standing. They begin at 4 under and 5 under respectively. Every Open Championship, Brian, produces a very interesting story in terms of a player. And this year, it's an Irish player. This chap, David Carey, he's having some few days at St. Andrews, isn't he?
Oh, he's been tremendous. I mean, I've known David, you know, for a few years. I remember watching him in the Irish Close-Up in Sea Point, you know, about 7 or 8 years ago. And I was saying, who's this guy? He's after hitting that ball, you know, 350 yards. And, you know, people were saying, yeah, that's David. He really gives it a serious wallop and it could go anywhere. He's now sort of got that power under control. He turned pro when he was a teenager. Said to himself, right, I want to be a pro. Let's go off and be a pro. And he went off to play on the Alps Tour. And he's been doing that, you know, for the last few years. Hasn't quite made it onto the Challenge Tour yet, but he's just got tremendous confidence. A very individual guy, does his own thing. You know, as Porter Carrington said to us yesterday, that's the kind of qualities you need to make it as a pro. Stick to your guns, believe in yourself, don't be listening to too many other people. So, you know, he's got tremendous confidence in himself. You know, great round, 500 par yesterday. Very annoyed with the 72 on the first day, finishing really late at night at 10:15, you know, in the cold, in the dark, 4 3-putt pars. You know, he hits the ball so far, he can drive, you know, several of the par fours here and reach all the par fives. So, you know, no surprise, as he said himself, it's no surprise to him to see himself up there. He felt it was the easiest cut of the year to make, because playing on the Alps Tour, if you're not 400, 500, 600 par through two rounds, you're going home and you're not making any money. So, you know, he's already guaranteed a nice check, and it's a great chance for him to really make a move in his career and maybe get some European Tour status if he can keep going, push on for a, you know, top 10, 15 finish. That would be an unbelievable result for him.
We're going to be talking football now with Alan Cawley of Cawley's Call. Good, very good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Declan. How are you?
So listen, what would be wrong with you in a day like that? The Open is on, the hurling final is on tomorrow, the Women's Euros are on, Ken is playing snooker and golfs. What more would you want over the course of the weekend?
You said it, Declan, and I echo all those sentiments. I'll be doing the same thing as you.
Yeah. Tell you one thing, Dundalk last night, Alan, for the second consecutive week, had the opportunity to cut Shamrock Rovers' advantage at the summit of the table to 7 points. They didn't do it last week against Drogheda. Didn't really do it last night either. They got it down to 9 thanks to a 1-1 draw against St. Patrick's Athletic in what was a rip-roaring contest on the banks of the Cammock.
Yeah, I heard it was a great game, Declan. I wasn't at it, obviously, because I was working on the Women's Euros last night, so I was only reading reports and following online. But by all accounts, it was a great game from what I hear. But as you say, the most disappointing aspect for Dundalk is that they haven't closed the gap. And two opportunities last week, you would expect them to beat Drogheda. And then last night again, if they have aspirations of pushing Shamrock Rovers, you have to be going to St. Pat's and picking up 3 points. And to pick up only 1 point out of those six, it's not great, really, if you're trying to chase down Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, and Stephen O'Donnell got his marching orders down there last night as well, just in the 91st minute of the game for encroaching, as he said himself, onto the pitch. But it's a big week for Pats. They're involved in Conference League action next Thursday at Richmond Park. The night's other game, by the way, in the SSC at Tristany last night saw Bohemians enjoy a 1-0 away win at Drogheda. Liam Burt, super strike, 14 minutes from time. And that's the first time this season, Alan, that the Gypsies have won back-to-back league games. Unbelievable after, what, 23?
Yeah, it is. It is unbelievable, really, Declan. But it just goes to show how inconsistent they've been and how hit and miss. And Obviously, Keith strengthened during the break there, and he was able to bring in three or four players that he was speaking about trying to bring in. So he was able to do that, and I think they have obviously helped maybe bolster the squad a little bit. They have lost Dawson Devoy in the window, which is a huge loss as well. So he needed reinforcements. But to go to Drogheda, because Drogheda is a tough place this season to go. They've been on a decent run themselves. But I saw the goal, Liam Burt, a brilliant strike, and he's a very, very good player, Liam Burt, as well. So Bohemians will be hoping now, as you said, that they've picked up two wins back-to-back for the first time, that can kick on and maybe go on a bit of a run, three, four, five games back-to-back.
Europe was good to Irish clubs, generally speaking, during the course of the week. Shamrock Rovers did the job against god-awful Maltese champions, you'd have to say, over the course of the two games. Awful game on Tuesday night over there, nil-all, but got through 3-0 on aggregate. Your own hometown Sligo Rovers made hard work of it against the Welsh team, but they got through on Thursday night as well. Unfortunately, Derry City didn't. So Europe going well so far, but Shamrock Rovers, Luka Goretz of Bulgaria away in the first leg of their second qualifying round next Tuesday, Al.
Yeah, it'll be much stiffer competition, Declan, on Tuesday. Luka Goretz obviously will be a step above what they played in the first round. That Maltese champions, as you say, Hibernians, I covered the first game and they were very, very poor. As poor a team in Europe as I've seen over here in a long, long time. And to be fair to Ballytown against Sligo Rovers, I know they're only a part-time outfit, but Sligo Rovers, who we all fancy to win comfortably enough, made so much hard work of it in the second leg. And if anything, they were blessed to go through, Declan. If their keeper, the tank, Ed McGinty, who pulled off save after save, and then eventually when it went to a penalty shootout, he was the hero in the shootout as well. So Sligo Rovers can breathe a sigh of relief, especially with the money that's on offer, because that would have been real embarrassing had they gone out to Ballytown. But they got through in the end. They've set up a good tie with Motherwell in the coming days as well. And hopefully they can give a better account of themselves than what they gave Thursday night in the showgrounds.
I was up in Sligo on Thursday, and I wasn't at the game, but I was just in around the town, and the buzz and the excitement level was absolutely fantastic. Just what you'd expect in a real footballing town like Sligo. Transfer-wise, Alan, a couple of players made moves. Dawson Devoy, as you mentioned, was one under 21 international going cross-channel. And one man who might be on the move as well, if reports are to be believed, is Andy Lyons. Blackpool are interested in signing the Shamrock Rovers full-back. And to lose him and having lost Danny Mandreo as well, that's real quality and a serious number of goals from the team as well, if he goes.
Yeah, I saw these rumours circulating last night, Declan, and I'm not surprised, to be honest. Andy Lyons has been electric. To me, up to this point in the season, he's probably been the player of the year. He's been brilliant. The impact that he's had at Shamrock Rovers, it seems like he's gone to another level since his move from Bohemians. So I'm not surprised at all that there is clubs interested. You mentioned Blackpool is the most kind of strongest interest at the moment. So it wouldn't surprise me, but definitely it would be a blow to Shamrock Rovers to lose him and Mandreau. But unfortunately, the league and where we're at the moment, Declan, we're losing all our best young talent. And I think that's just a circumstance of where we find ourselves with the league, that I think it's becoming very much a development league now. And there is a lot of kind of young talent leaving. Dara Burns, obviously, at Pats as well. Dawson Devoy, Andy Lyons, Danny Mandreau, all the best players, the young lad from UCD Euro as well. So it's not leaving us with a great depth of talent here in the league, but unfortunately, that's just where we find ourselves at the moment.
It's a good sign in one sense, though, isn't it? That, you know, the English clubs are coming over, but they're having to be more respectful now to the Irish clubs in their transfer dealings, particularly in the amount of money that they pay. But the pathway to development, I saw an interesting one during the week where Crumlin United, who are one of the leading junior and intermediate clubs in the country, have now tied up with Shamrock Rovers. So players, as we've discussed many times before, can see a real path way to a career in professional football from non-league into the League of Ireland and so on.
Yeah, 100%, Declan. That pathway is absolutely here now, and it's great to see for young fellas. And if you're a young lad starting out in the league now, there's amazing opportunities, because as you say, the English clubs are here on a regular basis and they are taking our players across. Unfortunately, though, in my view, and that is one good, obviously a very, very positive sign. But on the other hand, if we're trying to grow the league here and you're looking at the depth of the teams, and at the moment Shamrock Rovers are miles ahead of everybody else, I just don't see the quality in and around the league in terms of all the clubs and what we're trying to build to make it a very competitive league. And that's unfortunately the downside of losing your best talent and losing your best young players. It's great that the young lads are getting a chance and an opportunity to go and develop their careers further. But as I say, we're also trying to grow the league here. And in my view, and from what I see at the games every week, it's very, very ordinary at the moment. And it's very it's a very youthful look around the league. So it's very much becoming that development league, that there's young fellas starting off their careers here, play 50 games and then they're gone. And I would like to see us just strengthen the league a little bit more. But that's the dilemma, I suppose. You know, you can't have it everywhere.
Yeah, indeed. But I would just take the opportunity to wish our European representatives every success next week. Shamrock Rovers going to Bulgaria especially, and St. Patrick's Athletic at home on Thursday night as well. Alan Corey, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. Enjoy the feast of sport over the course of the weekend.
Thanks, Declan.
Just before you go, Alan, Joe here. Can you hear me?
Joe. Oh.
Yeah,
hiya, Joe.
You were giving that Norwegian team a very hard time last night, I have to say.
And with good reason, Joe, they were dreadful.
No better man than Pauly to call it.
Thanks for listening to Dublin Stock in Sport on Sunshine 106.8 from myself, Ken and Reggie. Have a good weekend.